Good afternoon and welcome to Light in the Darkness. My name is Red Mark. Well, it's time to get off my can and get some work done. I'll tell you, the world is falling apart around us by the moment. It's incredible. And I want to flood the airwaves with as much as I can while there's still time. I have a sense of real urgency about me right now, folks. So I hope some of you do as well. So join me in this fight. This is a commentary entitled War of the Worlds, December 8th of the year 2017, this day. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8 from the NIV. In all my years of following Bible prophecy, I have never witnessed what is going on in every prophetic category specifically pointed out to watch for in these final days. I mean, in the news today alone, I was in there for 4 hours on just two areas of prophecy. It's incredible. You know, because of this, I'm experiencing a sense of urgency to yell it from the rooftops that it's not only time for each of us to get ourselves spiritually ready for what is about to become, but also to witness the urgency to all of our families, friends, and neighbors, and even strangers, that it is now time to wake up. The time for personal decisions concerning our future eternal destiny is now. I'm telling you, point blank, that this is Satan's last fling, and that times are only going to continue to spiral out of control in the following days ahead. That is, until Jesus has decided that enough is enough, and that those he has been waiting for have joined the flock. So what do we do? Well, I tell you this, it's time we become militant in our witness. Now, as previously stated, we know there's a war going on all around us, and sadly, most of the world is ignoring it. Social, spiritual, and moral balance has all but vanished, and yet people are walking around in what seems to be a spiritual fog. Of course, it's like the days of Noah, choosing to accept these realities as normal, rather than dealing with what the obvious and end result will be. For those of us who see it, what should we do to combat it? Well, let me say it again. Let's get militant. Now, during my many conversations with various Christian leaders and pastors over the years, my discussion of militancy has come up innumerable times. Now, how it applies to our nation, the nations of the world, how the church fits into this picture, and how we as individuals and as collective societies view it. Well, needless to say, this debate took us to many points of thought. As I have contemplated these conversations over the years, I've come to realize that in this word, militancy, lies the answer to the success or failure of our churches today. Most people, when they hear the word militant, think immediately of war or other aggressive situations, be it political, personal, or whatever. Now, I myself was a victim of this thinking for most of my life. But alas, I believe I've come to the understanding of what it truly should mean. And yes, I'm still a complete militant, but now in a much different way. Allow me to explain. First, let's go to the American College Dictionary and look up the meaning of the word militant. Now, it says this. First, combative, aggressive. Secondly, it says engaged in warfare, warring. Number three, one engaged in warfare or strife. A militant person serving as a soldier. Now, for a moment, let's get away from the worldly view of this definition and apply these words to the kingdom of God. Start with 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, and it says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." NIV. And one more from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It states this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on all the armor, the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Love that. Just love those passages. Now, I want to use biblical example of the kind of warfare or militancy that is being revealed to us in these following passages. Back in the town of Gadara, there was a mass of tombs. Many of you will remember this story. The dwelling amongst them was a man who was possessed by some 2,000 unclean spirits. Can any of us even begin to imagine the torment this demon-possessed man endured? Scripture says he wailed and cried all through the night, ripping his clothes and cutting himself with stones. His poor soul lived as a wild beast, and there seemed to be no one who could help him. Plainly, Satan had taken ownership of this tormented man. Now, in chapter 5 of the book of Mark, we see where Jesus has just finished teaching in another town and was now heading to Gadara, where the demon-possessed man lived. And unlike many other places, there was no waiting crowd. There would be no mass healings or no teachings or parables. Simply, Christ's mission was to reach this one person, the demoniac who lived among the tombs. Now, in this gospel, we see an amazing scene take place. In chapter 5, again, verses 2 through 7, it says this, "And when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from the distance, he ran, fell on his knees in front of him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God you won't torture me.'" Excuse me. Why did the demoniac say this? It is because evil spirits are tormented when they encounter Christ. They know for a fact that they will be chained and bound for eternity. Then Jesus responded directly to the demon, saying, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." And the 2,000 unclean spirits, who called themselves Legion, responded immediately, left the demoniac and entered into a herd of pigs, ran down the mountainside and jumped into the sea and drowned. Excuse me. And then what happened? This poor tormented man, who just a few minutes earlier was crazed by evil spirits, now sat calmly at Jesus' feet in his right mind. Now certainly this was an incredible miracle Jesus had just demonstrated, but it also is a clear message to all of us that our Lord's authority has power over all and every kind of darkness, no matter how strong. Now I believe there's even a bigger message here. One that is for our church today as well as for each of us individually. In the book of Revelation, the word clearly speaks of a flood of evil that will come upon the earth in the last days. I'm telling you, it's here. The final days when the devil knows his time is short. He'll turn it up, guys, and he's doing that. There is no question in my mind that these are the days that we are now living in. People from all walks of life are questioning what is going on around them because it's so crazy. And it's no wonder. All are running to and fro, as the book of Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 says. Any semblance of morality is on its last legs. We have far surpassed the tragic example of Sodom and Gomorrah. So what is actually going on? Simply, it is the power of hell at work. Satan and his hordes are doing all they can to put as many as possible into darkness. Now, as a remnant, we followers of Jesus Christ need and must be fully aware that we are witnessing Satan's full-scale attack against God's people. Multitudes of souls live in these tombs of self-destruction, being harassed and tormented by evil spirits. Millions upon millions of hearts are crying out in torment just as you are reading these words and listening to them. And according to Scripture, it is only going to get worse with each passing hour. But when all seems hopeless, when lawlessness seems unstoppable, and when there seems to be no place left to turn, this is when many will begin to finally turn their faces to Jesus, the one and only one who can rescue them from their torment. So how will this all transpire? Simply, it is time for Christ's disciples, the church to get out of its lukewarm, pleasure-seeking, seeker-friendly state and become militant by getting back to the ministry described in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, where Jesus gave his disciples authority over Satan's hordes. And when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Spiritual blindness is sickness, people. I see nowhere in Scripture where this authority or power over evil has been rescinded. The time has come for Christ's authentic church to rise up and get back to the ministry of fighting the devil on all fronts. There is no fear in the true followers of our Lord. Now, if you are one who is caught up in the old ways of complacency or just going through the motions, well, then I strongly urge you to become spiritually militant and start making a difference in the very short time we have left. Cries of despair are coming from all comers of our world, and it's time for the true church, the remnant, to answer these cries. It is time to call on the power of the Holy Spirit. Period. And finally, know this. There are two worlds out there, one of good and one of evil. And in these last days, the warfare that has been waged for centuries will now only increase. In the true sense of the word, there is a war of the worlds going on, and it's evident when we look around. When we look around us and see that the current church of today is losing the battle badly. Why? Because we try and fight it with the worldly methods, ways that seem to be acceptable to our culture, inclusive all that stuff. But the results have proven disastrous. So what then? What now? Romans 12:2 says it very clearly. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now remember this. Jesus did not condemn the man at Gadara. He did not ask the man how he became so bound. There was no rebuke, not even a question. Instead, Jesus worked a wonderful miracle of deliverance for the tormented man. And he showed the world how God has authority over every power of darkness. And finally, he passed it on to those of us who hear his calling. Hallelujah. Simply, it is time. And until next time, this is Rev.